Well, we are moving into a... I've talked recently about how we're during this Easter season, we want to extend our celebration of the resurrection. And of course, the resurrection is a reality we live in every day of the year. But this is the Sundays after Easter, our Easter season leading up to Pentecost. And one of the ways we want to get into this reality is by looking at the book of Acts. And I heard a pastor say one time, they think every church ought to spend sometime every year in the book of Acts. Because out of all the books in the Bible, Acts is the one that most reflects our reality. The Old Testament was before Jesus. The Gospels were before the resurrection, most of it, and before Pentecost. But Acts takes us into the reality of what you and I live in the age of the church. And I am convinced that many of us don't sometimes we without realizing, distance ourselves from the book of Acts when we read it. See if that'll... There we go. And I think there's a couple ways we tend to distance ourselves from allowing the book of Acts to be relevant for our lives. The first one is this. We tend to think, well, the book of Acts is all these miracles and signs and wonders and things we see in the book of Acts. That was for another time, another place, a little bit like when we're reading the Chronicles of Narnia. And we say, well, that's a great story, but people, when they go into wardrobes, really don't go into a whole new world. And sometimes we look at the book of Acts perhaps the same way. It's like, okay, all that stuff is great. Or there's actually a theological understanding out there by some people who say, well, the church needed a kickstart, and so God poured out the Holy Spirit really powerfully in the book of Acts, just to kind of like spraying lighter fluid on a fire to get this thing going. But that somehow that's not for us today. And I just don't believe that, and I want to encourage you to say everything we see in the book of Acts, whether we understand it or not, is for our time too. Or the second way I think we distance ourselves from the book of Acts is we may say, okay, we know it's for us now. We know God works that way in our world today, but not for me. We say, that's not part of my experience, and so maybe I'm not spiritual enough, maybe I don't go to the right church, or whatever it may be. We say, that's maybe for some people, real spiritual people, but not for me. But I want to invite you to a third way. Oftentimes we talk about a third way. Here's how, the posture I want to invite us as a congregation to look at the book of Acts over the next number of weeks. When you read the book of Acts, you'll see things that you don't maybe experience in your life. But I invite you to say, God, the book of Acts tells me there's more to the Christian life than I've been experiencing. And rather than finding all kinds of reasons why it's not relevant to our lives today, come with a posture of curiosity. God, I want your best. I want more of your Spirit in my life. And I see miracles in the book of Acts. Give me faith to believe and pray for miracles. Give me faith to believe and anticipate divine appointments. Give me faith to believe that you'll speak to me, you'll lead, that you'll lead our church, that you'll provide. Come with a posture of curiosity and saying, God, I want your best. So that's the invitation I offer before you as we look at the book of Acts over the next number of weeks. We're looking at Acts chapter 1 today. Now, we're a little bit off the church calendar. That's okay. It's not quite Ascension Day. Ascension Day is when you forget that all the Mennonite stores aren't open. And you show up at... That's the day when you show up at Paul B. Zerman's and they're closed. Or wherever you... May 25 is Ascension Day. But we're going to be talking about that story today, and we'll mention it closer to the time as well. Jesus said in the Great Commission is recorded throughout the Gospels, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is an action task. Saying we as believers, Jesus is saying, now that I'm risen from the dead, I'm calling you to get busy, go out there and share the gospel, preach it everywhere. You have a job to do. But then in the book of Acts here in chapter 1, after he says go, he also has another instruction. Gathering them together, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said you have heard from me. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Do not leave Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. So we have this commission to go, but then here we have this commission to wait. And what the church enters into here, in obedience to Jesus, is a time of waiting and praying. Waiting and praying. And I want to confess to you, maybe you'll join me in this confession, but sometimes I'm a whole lot more going and doing than I am waiting and praying. Do you ever go to someone's house, maybe a family relative, and you say, can I help with something? Can I help with something? You know, I feel awkward if I'm not doing something. Let me do something. We like to get busy. Give me something to do. I remember when I was a chaplain in Virginia for a summer in a hospital, and we would get called into tense situations, crisis situations. And as a chaplain, you're never quite sure what to do. You really have to trust the Holy Spirit to show you what to say or what not to say or where to stand or what to do. And I remember being envious of the medical people who would come into the room, and they had a job to do. They're doing IVs. They're doing their thing. They're busy. And I'm just awkwardly like, what do I do? We're much more comfortable many times, I'll confess for myself, doing than waiting and praying. And yet what the book of Acts, what Jesus is very intentional here, that we are being introduced to the rhythm of the disciple, which is this rhythm of waiting and praying for the empowerment, the leading, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and then doing. And it's a rhythm that goes over and over again in the Christian life. And yet, I'll confess again, it's something that I want to confess that is often missing from my life, the fullness of it. It's a lot more easy to do than it is to wait and to pray. And we are being called together as a church, as individuals and as a church, to a new emphasis on this very important dynamic of waiting on the Lord for guidance, for empowerment, for leading. It's a very important moment in our lives. Waiting on the Holy Spirit makes me think of going for a walk in the park with my nephew Freddie at age 3. And I remember my own children at age 3, and the story could be just as much about them. But we were walking on this trail, very safe trail, going through this park. And it was my brother and his wife and our family. And Freddie, is a 3-year-old, so he liked to run way ahead. And your temptation is you want to chase him and catch him. But you realize when you start running after him, he'll just run away. And so what we began to do was just slow down. And Freddie goes on ahead, and all of a sudden, where are they? And he's getting, I want them to see me. When he couldn't see us, he got nervous, and he waited. And even started to move back toward us. And I want to suggest that the posture of waiting and praying for you and I in the Christian life is a little bit like that. That we can find ourselves getting ahead of God. And there's a very important place for waiting and praying in order for our priorities in life, our next instructions, our empowerment to come from the Lord. Works in all kinds of ways. It reminds me when I was a teacher, we would read stories to children. And if it was a story they were really into, they'd be talking and making all kinds of noise, and I'd be shouting over them, don't you want to hear this story? And all of a sudden, I would change my tone, and I would just speak very quietly. And all of a sudden, they couldn't hear me. And they'd all start shushing each other so they could hear the quieter voice of the story they wanted to hear. There again, it's this waiting, this new posture to allow the Spirit of God to catch up to us, to wait on God. It's something I'm continually needing to learn in my life. But this period between the ascension, where Jesus ascends into heaven, and Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, is sometimes referred to as this very significant pause. A very significant pause. Or you could say a holy pause that we are invited to this place in our lives. The holy pause. It teaches us that our mission requires much more than our earnest striving. It's not about our efforts. It's about following God's leadership in the world, in our lives, and all our what we're doing. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of being in a conversation with someone and they use a big word that you don't know. But I have to confess that sometimes when that happens to me, I just pretend I know the word, nod my head. And that happened to me. I can remember clearly the conversation 2 years ago I was in, and this person used this word that you maybe know, but I didn't. I never heard. It was this one. Frenetic. And you ever notice this? When someone, you'll be introduced to a new word, And all of a sudden, you'll start hearing it everywhere. And that's a little bit what's happened to me over the last number of years with the word frenetic. And it means all kind of words. It means frantic, it means frenzied, energetic, but in a kind of an out-of-controlled way. And ever since I first heard that word a couple years ago, I've been hearing it everywhere. And I think it's partly because it so aptly describes the reality of so many of us in 21st century North America. Frenetic. Lots of things going on. Lots of good things going on. Maybe I'm reflecting more the stage of my life as a parent of teenagers. Frenetic. But I'm convinced it's not just parents of teenagers. We go to ministerial meeting once a month where the churches gather. And sometimes I feel like I'm drinking out of a fire hydrant. All these activities, good things. You could do this and do this and get your church to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And I just want to leave. I feel exhausted. All these good things. What do we do? And it's the issue so many of us deal in our lives because we have so many good options. What do we do? And I believe that's one of the reasons why Jesus told his disciples, wait and pray. Don't just go out there and start trying to fulfill the Great Commission. Wait until you have instructions from the Holy Spirit. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I believe the invitation to each and every one of us is to, in the midst of all the opportunities we have out there, to make more of a priority on saying, God, you show us what to do and give us the power and the ability to do it by your strength. Because otherwise, we quickly become frenetic. And I believe God wants to move us from a frenetic approach where we're scattered in a kind of empty, meaningless way in activity to lives that are filled, perhaps even busy, with meaningful things that are part of our kingdom calling. Now let me clarify something. I think when we talk about kingdom work, sometimes we think that only kingdom work is if you're doing Bible study or if you're coming to church. That's kingdom work. We divide our lives into spiritual stuff and then that other stuff. Everything is kingdom for the believer. Your hobbies are kingdom. Going to baseball games, for me, can be kingdom. Those of you into horses, we know that's kingdom work. We've seen it here. If you're in the Lions Club, something like that, Rotary, it's kingdom. You guys who go hunting, or women who go hunting, kingdom. We have good friends of ours, Brent and Benita Keener. We invited them here to speak at church a couple years ago because we have such high regard and respect for them. And there was one conversation with them that has made a real impression on our lives. It was one January where Jennifer asked Bonita, she said, is your husband Brent, is he going to be coaching soccer again this year? We were trying to make our plans for the spring for our son to play soccer, and we were hoping Brent would be his coach. And Bonita responded, she said, well, there's a possibility of that. But she said, every year, at least once a year, Brent and I go away for the weekend for the specific purpose of waiting and praying and taking all the options they have in their lives and laying it before the Lord and really seeking the Lord and saying, God, what do you want us to do? What are you, Holy Spirit, calling us into as our kingdom work? And sometime after that weekend away that they took in January, Bonita and Jennifer had a conversation. Bonita said, in our praying, we feel a real strong sense that Brent is to coach soccer this year. But there was a real sense that Brent was doing this not as a hobby or something fun on the side, but this was kingdom work. This is every bit as much about the kingdom as his role he was serving as an elder at his church. But so was his role as a soccer coach. It was kingdom. And I believe that the invitation to us is to look at everything that is available to us and what we do. And say, God, what is it you are calling us to do? And if it's not about kingdom, then it really ought to be cut from our lives. And here again, let me emphasize, that's not just saying if it's not churchy stuff, you should cut it. No. But everything we do is to be a part of advancing the kingdom of God, about allowing God to use us in the spheres of influences that God opens up for us. I think about my children and their activities. That what we want to be emphasizing with our children is, what is God calling you to do? And think about, let's say, if you're running track, How does that participation allow you to be a disciple of Jesus? How are you encouraging? How are you blessing? This is for the glory of God. Any kind of involvement we have. Something I'm continuing to learn about in my life. We need to take time for this kind of important waiting and praying. And if you're like me, it's very easy to think, where do I ever get the time to wait and pray? Now we know the answer is we make time. And I'm reminded of this. We make time for what's important, and this is not going to be a sermon about technology. I'm going to use it here. That maybe is another time in another place. But we know for so many of us, our phones, we rely on them. Just reality. Our calendars are on our phones. Maps are on our phones. Our schedules, all our numbers and contacts. These are very useful things. 2 years ago, I realized a childhood dream when I finally got to visit Wrigley Field in Chicago. I was wanting to go to Wrigley Field, this baseball, old baseball stadium all my life, and I finally got to go, and I went by myself because of the nature of the details of our trip. And we were there, I was there at Wrigley Field having a great time. I was taking pictures with my phone and taking videos, and I was just having a great time in this historic ballpark. And then I looked down at my phone and I saw that little red symbol there where you're running out of power. And I was thinking, it was a long, complicated trip for me to get there. I had to take the train around Indiana back to Michigan where our family was staying. And I was, I need my phone. I rely on my phone. I have to have power on my phone for that trip back. So there I am at Wrigley Field. This great moment I've been waiting for. And I found myself going out to the charger station in Wrigley Field, standing there, plugging it in along with some other guys who also had their phones run low, standing there for 45 minutes. Waiting for my phone to charge up. In this moment, missing out on what I really wanted to experience. But there I was. And why did I choose to do that? Because I rely on that power. And without that power, I knew good and well my phone was going to die. And I think you see where I'm going with this. What would it take for you and I to have the same sense of dependence on the Holy Spirit each and every day as we do when we leave the house to make sure our phone is charged? Now, some of you, this maybe is going to connect with less so than others, and you're maybe just healthier people who aren't as reliant on your phone. But some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. When we were traveling a month ago in Tanzania, we left JFK Airport in New York, went to Amsterdam in the Netherlands, and then to Nairobi. Three airports on three continents. Do you know what the prime spot was in each and every airport? The seats that were most always taken in an airport, the ones by the chargers. The place where people charge their phone, the coveted spot. You would come into the little place and you'd sit, and sure enough, someone's sitting there charging their phone. You had to wait. It's the day in which we live. What does it mean for you and I to leave the house in the morning and say, I did not wait on the Holy Spirit's empowerment before I go into my day. I need that time with the Lord to get perspective, to be empowered. And I think it's a desire of our hearts to say, Lord God, give me that kind of desire, the same desire to have my spirit fed by your spirit, charged by your spirit, as I do to have my phone charged and ready for the day. We learn to rely on our phones. 11 years ago, I didn't have a cell phone. And I got my first cell phone 11 years ago. And some of you can tell your own story. And then you get your first smartphone. And you learn as the years go by to rely on this thing. I learned to rely on my phone. We learn to rely on the Spirit of God in the same way. Well, how? By becoming dependent on the Holy Spirit. What does it mean as you begin your day and you think about the stresses you're going to experience and say, God, if you don't give me illumination, patience, then I can't handle the situations coming before me. I heard a woman who owns a nail salon, and she was sharing her testimony of saying she and her workers gather each morning and they think about the tough, difficult customers that are coming in that day, and they know the potential for chaos in their salon that day, and they sing and they pray before the Lord, and they say, God, they invite the Spirit of God into their salon, And she said, it's amazing what a difference that makes as they invite the Holy Spirit's presence, as they charge themselves up with the Spirit of God for what they are going to experience in that day. Imagine if you would walk into a phone store and you would say to them, you know, I got this phone, but I just can't understand it. It works for like 2 days and then just goes dead. I have no idea what's going on. It'd be a good prank to play. It'd be a good video, a good YouTube thing to try. And they'd say, have you tried charging it? And you say, oh, it needs to be charged. I didn't know that. That'll solve all my problems. And I believe sometimes you and I as believers forget that the Holy Spirit is poured out. Yes, but the Holy Spirit's presence is something we need to seek again and again and again. There's a quote that I find so helpful from Will Wilmot. He says, our waiting and praying, or you could say our recharging, is a reminder that the Holy Spirit is never an assured possession, but it's a gift that must be continually sought anew in prayer. Now, that stretched me a little bit to think about the Holy Spirit not as an assured possession, because I believe it is. God pours out His Spirit freely on us. But one that must be continually sought. It's like the guy at the back of the church the guy's saying, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord. And the guy at the church says, don't do it, Lord, he leaks. We leak. You've heard that before, that illustration. That we need, just like our devices, leak power. We need regular infilling with the Spirit of God. Spirit of God leads us in three ways, very briefly. The Spirit of God convicts us of sin. I need the Spirit of God in my life every single day, convicting me when my heart has a wrong attitude, and it's a lot. And we can immediately repent and confess and realign with the heart of the Lord. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. And we see that in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us. I love the story in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit says to Philip, go stand by that chariot and wait there. All right, and Philip waits there. And that whole series, that whole story opens up with the Ethiopian eunuch who comes to know Jesus through Philip being led by the Holy Spirit. And the third way is the Holy Spirit empowers us. And you see again and again in the book of Acts where it says, and Peter stood up and filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he gives utterance. Again and again you'll see it. Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he declares the glory of God. That you and I can experience that in a regular kind of way. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Can move forward with priorities. A meaningful life that moves beyond frenetic. And moves to a life that is ordered and governed by the Spirit of God. May it be true for each and every one of us. As we wait and pray. And move forward in obedience to what God is calling us to do. May it be true for you and may it be true for our church. Amen.